Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
We're in the hat, everybody. All right, it might be a beat up old one with curled up edges and a hole in the top, but it's still a hat. Evening, everybody. Yes, it is Charlton Live here on a Sunday evening. We are going to talk about yesterday's Battle Royale between our new manager's old club and us. Yeah, right, I might have oversold that a bit. But we'll also be talking about everything else that's going on with the club, and we want your opinions as well, please. But joining me this evening, over to my left, is the First Lady of Charlton, Sue Gallop. Sue, good evening.
Evening all.
And somebody to my right who isn't the First Lady of Charlton, Tom Wallin. All right, Tom.
Thanks for that, yeah. No, all right, thank you.
Good stuff. And as I said, we want you to join in as well. Please do so. On your, we've got a few tweets in as well, but if just in case you don't know, it's at Charlton Live if you want to tweet us in. If you want to email us, studio at Charlton Live as well. And guys, I think you were both there yesterday.
I wasn't.
Tom escaped.
Yeah.
Did you manage that?
I was too busy laying flooring in my loft.
Good excuses, well, anyway,
watching people laying flooring in your loft.
I was delegating. Managing the process
and making tea.
You have loft to doers.
Yeah, well, my dad, and they're just good at that stuff. And my uncle's an electrician, so he was installing the light.
Oh, so, I need to be in your family. So, Sue, then first, I suppose. What did you make of yesterday? As polite as you possibly
could
can be.
Could have had a little nap, I think.
Well, in the first half, you could have.
First half wasn't great, was it? There's nothing happening on either side, really. It was just one of those typical. Same league teams playing each other, not really wanting to. I don't know, it just seemed like one of them games that people just didn't want to get injured, or like, because we had a few like changes in the side. So I think I don't even know whether it's got anything to do with it having the new manager in place, that they're slightly nervous. I'm not sure what it was, but it wasn't a lot.
It seemed to me that, very similar to the Sheffield United game, in as much as I think MK Dons did the homework on us a little bit, because in that first half they bossed our midfield. Basically, they didn't give us any space, any time. They harassed us, they hassled us, and we sat back and allowed them to do that in the first half. Mm. That's how I saw it, anyway. Mm. So I think they did their homework. They saw where our weaknesses are, mm-hmm. i.e., a little bit down the left hand side, especially because. You know, Ademola Lookman does track back occasionally, but generally that's not his game. Again, they put two or three, they were kicking him up in the air several times, yeah, again, which every team seems to do. They target him. Once again, little or no protection until it, you know, until right at the end when, you know, damage is already done almost because he's been kicked so much. So I thought they did a job on us in the first half, and you've got to give them credit for that. We couldn't cope with it. Second half, we came out with a different mentality, I thought, and we took the game to them a little bit more than we did in the first half.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I felt quite disappointed. And I know you're saying that Lookman was basically, they'd done their own work on him, but even when he was getting the ball, to me, he wasn't our usual Addy.
It is a question I want to ask, things, actually.
Yeah, and I thought that during the game, I think... He was struggling for ideas. He was getting the ball and then looking like he didn't really know what to do with it. And then, why is he taking free kicks and corners?
Do you know, I mentioned it on commentary yesterday. We must be brilliant at those in training, because there can be no explanation as to why they keep the same people get the atoms. I mean, we didn't get it past the first man either when Addy was taking them. Who took them straight after? There was a period where somebody else was it Ulverstad or I'm trying to think who else had a go. But they didn't. It didn't get past first man either. And you're thinking, you know, we must be able to do this in training. It must work, mustn't it?
But I guess the other thing, like, you got to think now, is like last season it was always Johan and always Weldy and Jacko not starting or even on the bench yesterday, so they would be the people that you would look to. But then even when Jacko's been in the side, Addy's been
but you want Jacko in coming in for the headers, don't you, I suppose. I get, you know, I mean, you know, we've got to talk about Addy's free kick. We'll do that later. We'll watch the we'll listen to the highlights rather in a second.
All 10 seconds.
We got 3.5 minutes. I have no idea how Louis managed to get 3.5 minutes out of it, but we got 3.5 minutes. Let's do those first anyway. Let's get those out of the way. We'll play you the highlights and then we'll come back and talk about the game a bit more. These are the highlights for the game yesterday against MK Dons.
McGuinness doesn't work, but it's a lovely interception from Ademola Lookman, and Charlton have a run now. He's on the edge of the penalty area, feeds to Jose, a little chip over, but it's over the bar. Coming up to 9 minutes on in this first half, MK Dons with the corner. Again, Reeves swings it in left foot, and it's a free header for number 9, Bodic. Nobody watched him run to the corner of the 6-yard box. Fortunately for Charlton, his header goes over the bar.
Yeah, it's a glorious chance for Bodic.
That's a good tackle from Crofts, and Bauer in on the challenge as well, but Agot comes away with it. Good work from the MK striker, and he's found Carruthers in the penalty area. Tries to release Bodic. Bodic back to Reeves. Reeves shooting Posetti into the top corner, but he's just misjudged it. And by the look of the agonised expression on his face, it wasn't by much.
Oh. Baldock making a run forward. Now Carruthers. MK Dons on the counter-attack. Cross momentarily holds up Carruthers. And the ball back from Walsh finds Lewington. Lewington looks for the ball up the line. It's been a good dummy from Bodic. And now Baldock's in on goal. It's Baldock. It's good save from Phillips. Just waited for Baldock to make his run, make his effort on goal. And Phillips stood up, stopped tall, and denied the MK Dons right back. Now for a Charlton goal kick, and that concludes the first half. A fairly quiet first half. It'll be a Charlton corner. The set pieces in the first half, the Addicts were poor. It will be Lookman outside of. It's gone for it towards the near post. It might drop for Teixeira. They've gone off a hand, has it? Says the referee.
I'll tell you what. It rolled down his arm, whether or not you could say he gained control of it. But Fox.
Ball looking for Bodic, but again, Bauer strong in his tackle. And Charlton have the ball with Crofts. Cross, lovely ball out wide to Lookman. Lookman up the line to McGuinness. McGuinness bearing down on goal. Josh McGuinness saved. Jose, no, it doesn't. Baldock just gets there. Bauer getting the ball into the box, looking for the far post. Is Pataka heads down to Jose, gets a goal. Ooh. It's comfortable in the end for Martin. Now finds Jose. He's got Pataka on the right hand side. It's just behind Jordan Pataka. Has to stall his run, but still has it. Pataka goes for goal, and it's the wrong option. There was options in the middle.
And it's Potter. Chips the ball back in, and Agar's in acres of space, offside. But he's offside.
Ooh, I'm not so confident about that. Charles defence were caught ball watching, really. They tried to push out. Whether they got out in time, I'm not sure.
I think this is going to head to the MK Dons goal in front of the covered end. And can Adamola Lookman do something quite spectacular here? It's a good 20, 25 yards out. It's, what are we looking, 10, just over 10 yards outside the left-hand edge of the D of the penalty area. He's going to shape up now, hit it right-footed. It's hit to the right-hand corner! Oh, just wide right of the post!
My.
So close by Adamola Lookman. Stayed on the halfway line, little ball upfield to McGuinness, cuts back inside, on a run now McGuinness, ball out to Lookman on the left-hand edge of the penalty area, takes his man on, takes a shot, just wide of the post of the left-hand side,
a corner.
And a Jose couldn't get a touch, but a MK Don's shirt certainly did, and it's a corner. Knocked back into the left-hand side looking for Powell, Bauer is across, clears it away, but it's flicked off Powell, and he's retaining possession here, Powell, and he's in the area. It's across the box, and it's full to Colclough, deflecting around the six-yard box, cleared away off the line by Croft. Superb defended. And then Novak surely pushed there, but nothing given. And then Dowling clears it away. Absolute carnage in that six-yard box, and quite how Charlton escaped there, I'm not entirely sure. That's the final whistle.
So there we are. Those were the highlights, all 3.5 minutes of them. Sounded exciting there.
It did, actually.
I don't know what game I was watching.
Just reminding ourselves, actually, we did have a couple of shots on goal.
I think second half we came alive, and I think probably, if we're fair, the draw was about right.
Oh, it's a fair result, because neither side did enough to win it. I mean, I think it says a lot about MK Dons when they, what did they have, about 7 bookings? We didn't.
We had one, I think.
Yeah, was it one Pearson, in the end? Because that was the only way they could. I mean, the little that we were doing, that was the only thing.
I mean,
they
quite
could
how
do, pulling back and
was
kicking.
It Bulldog, wasn't it? Their right back. Number
oh,
two.
He was
quite
oh,
how
oh,
he got away with.
Oh,
I mean, it took them six and two quite strange fouls. One particularly the very first one he did, which he should have got a booking for.
Yeah.
Quite it took him six odd fouls to get a booking. I have no idea.
And he was gobbing off quite a lot,
yeah, exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
So I think the ref, I don't know, it seemed better.
I'll tell you, if we're thinking about a left back, by the way, and I still can't believe why Lewington's not at a bigger club.
I never understand that.
Their left back, Dean Lewington's always, every time I've seen him, he's a good player.
Mm.
I can't believe he's not a bigger. I just don't. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand, because he's always played well against us. Unless it's just us he plays well against.
It might be. Yeah.
No, I don't know though. I guess some players.
And he's their captain, so you'd expect him to move, wouldn't you? That's strange.
You'd look at and maybe they're happy. They're settled.
It's going to be a question actually for later on. That normally you expect when a new manager comes in and he's just come from a club that he's been a long time at, especially, but even clubs that manager's been a short time at. They normally raid their previous club. So, having witnessed it yesterday, anybody else who was there, it's a question I want to ask. Who of that MK Don side would you take?
Mm.
To improve us, obviously, if it's possible. Of course it's possible. What am I saying? So that's something worth thinking about. If you want to let us know, who out of that MK Don side would you have a look at and possibly that could possibly help us?
Mm.
There's not saying it could happen or it will, but you never know. There are strong rumours that Richie Barker, who was on the sidelines for MK Dons, is going to be out of a job come tomorrow. And there's, does that mean we're going to take him? Because he's been beside Carl for a long time.
Yeah, and I read that Carl was keen to bring him in. I don't know if this was just rumours or whatever, but as you say, he's been his sort of psychic for the whole time that he's been at MK. So I think... and Carl said that he was keen to add to his backroom staff. That doesn't mean that anyone's going.
Well, he'd already gone on record to say Kevin Newton's staying.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good news, I think, personally.
Yeah, and he had no intentions of leaving anyway, even before Carl was named as manager. Are you going to stay about? And he was like, yeah, definitely, as long as whoever comes in wants me. Yeah. So, which is good, because I know the lads really like him, and they obviously done really well when he was caretaker. So,
Tom, you said you saw the highlights yesterday. What? How did they look? I mean, did they show the stuff that was on that audio package?
Pretty much. They only had 2 minutes of it. And 30 seconds was the first half. So the shots in the second half, they had Lookman breaking and playing a little through ball to McGuinness.
Oh, yeah.
They had Teixeira's shot from the halfway line.
Well, we're still not entirely convinced that was a shot, by the way.
Yeah, they had. There was one long ball in from Bauer, which was nodded down, and then a Jose with a little snapshot, and then Lookman's free kick, which I think was probably our best effort, and looked very close.
I don't know if you could tell by my voice, I was convinced that was in.
It sounded like it.
It was so close.
If I hadn't seen the highlights already or known the score, you would have thought it might have been. But it looks like, I think you two have covered it, and from what I've read and seen, first half wasn't much to talk about, and Carl Robinson said it himself, second half we came out and we played better and we looked more like a team that he wants us to be, and you know, it's his first game in, or first full game that he's been on the touchline, so we've got to give him some time, but it's a positive start, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one to call with time. You have to, of course you do, because they've got to, you know, the players that are here have got to get used to his style of play, you know, the way he wants to play. I think, I won't say too much because we're going to hear from Carl Robinson in a short while. And it's a decent long. I don't think he does short interviews, Carl Robinson.
I don't. A bit like Mr. Slade.
I think. Well, no.
Mr. Slade.
Russell, you know, well, not in here. You had to prize it out of him a little bit. It depends on the result, to be honest. I think if it had been 0-0, you wouldn't have got so much out of it. Victory, right. you tended to get a decent
quite
amount.
Chatty.
But I think media. He was a little bit more media. Suspicious, perhaps. Maybe for good reason. I don't know. That might have been something to do with it. Yeah. I don't know if Louis had a chance to upset Carl Robinson yet. I'll have to ask him.
There was one question he asked him yesterday. Was it about attacking play or something like that? And Carl Robinson's reply was, "This is the Valley." And that was it. And he wouldn't say anything else. And that was a little bit awkward.
I don't know whether he was having a go at me at all yesterday. I can't remember. I don't remember he was, but I'll listen back again today and find out in a minute as we hear from Carl Robinson. But are there any tweets on the game yesterday?
We've had quite a few. Some people asking about when the replay is, which we believe is Tuesday.
We're
the
guessing
13th.
The 13th. We're guessing, but we don't know.
Yeah, 100%. It's not been confirmed yet.
I'm in real trouble, by the way.
Pete, Super Addict, can I just say it was a dull game yesterday?
No, I can't argue with that particularly. Yep. I mean, there were snippets, but not
Freddie
much more than that.
Freddie Saunders was saying that Freddie was the other man taking the corners. Bob Liscombe's asked if we know why the skipper was not involved yesterday. I asked him, because he was sitting behind me during the game, and he's just got a tight hammy at the minute.
They didn't want to risk
it. He said, yeah. So
there's a great quote from Carl Robinson, but I won't say it until I'll let you hear it a bit later on, which may explain that as well.
Right, okay. So we've got Bob says, a bit concerned about how much chat the new boss has. Soon be time to stop the words and show some action, Mr. Robinson. Bob, all I would say is, it's only one game.
Well, I think, I think he's desperate to, we said this earlier on, didn't we, off air. I think he's desperate to succeed here. And I think he's desperate to make friends as well. Yeah. And to be on everybody's side. Now, you could argue that maybe you can try too hard at that, maybe so. But I'm not going to fault him for that particularly yet. If he's still in that frame of mind and we've lost four games in a row, it might start giving me the ump. But, but at the moment, it's fine.
I think as well, like, we've got to bear in mind, as long as he has been at MK a long time, but he's still only 36 years old, he's still learning, and I think, like we said off air, I like observing the managers when they're on the touchline, and he was barking out his orders, and he was very animated, but what I liked also was that every now and then he'd go back to the backroom staff, and he would be like, asking them or saying, like, suggesting things and getting their opinion.
What's his name?
And it's not just about him. I think for him it is about the team and the support that he's got around him in his learning. I must say when the announcement was made, I wasn't overly excited, but the more I'm sort of finding out and hearing,
I think ultimately,
I've not heard anything negative from in terms of the lads and the staff in how they found him. Very to the point up front, says it how it is, but a very likeable man.
I've got to be honest, I was the same as you. I wasn't entirely, I wouldn't say convinced, probably. I don't think I've ever had a problem with his managerial skills, because, you know, and I think he was a firefighter, even at MK Dons, wasn't he, because of the how it was born. So I think in that respect I didn't necessarily have a problem with him. I always never was comfortable with him as an opposition manager. I can't really put my finger on it.
Yeah.
I think it was just, there was just an attitude thing that I didn't quite, that didn't quite sit with me. But having said that, I've only met him the once briefly, and a positive response to that. So I've got to give credit where it's due. He came across very well in front of me. So if that carries on, I'll have no problem. I think ultimately we all know the situation here. If he's allowed to do the job, but then, you know, you would say the same against with Russell Slade as well, I suppose. If he's allowed to do what he wants to do, then hopefully he'll succeed. If he's not, then it don't matter who we got.
I think you could probably argue as well that he had more success at MK than Russell Wood had.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah.
I mean, they've never been a club that have had like vast amounts of money or anything like that thrown at them. And I think...
He knows how to get a loan player in, doesn't he?
what I like about him as well is he's very focused on youth and bringing youth through and them being the future of like the team going forward, and because he did that at MK, so...
I wonder if he's prepared to sell him quite as quickly, though.
Yeah.
Let's see.
we can only really judge him on his results as well, like any manager. And he's only had this one game so far, so it's very difficult to judge. But like you guys, I didn't particularly want him when he was rumoured to be coming. And you know, I've not been brainwashed by what he said by any means. But I like the way he comes across. I like his passion. And if that comes through to the players, like Sue says, if they're getting behind him and as a result, our results pick up and we start moving up the table, I'm not going to complain in the slightest. So,
well, let's hear from the man himself. He came into the studio after yesterday's game and spoke to me, and this is him. Joined by Carl Robinson in the studio after a goalless draw in the FA Cup with MK Dons. And Carl, frustrating?
First half, yes. We didn't look at it. We didn't look close enough to MK Dons to affect it. If you can't affect it, affect them. What we've worked on all week, you could see them trying to do it, but the distances weren't quite right. You've seen a team who, for a long period of time, had a very clear way. You could see that, couldn't you, in the first 15 minutes. It's harder being a team that you're trying to change from the old team that have a way of playing. But second half, I thought we were excellent. I thought our intensity, our desire, our application for the shirt, and for the fans who are watching, we certainly increased our intensity. And once the boy Addy gets a bit of protection from the referee, and we need this, our fans need to get on the referee's back a little bit more, because when he gets kicked, it's the only way to stop him. The kid's just top draw. I think you've seen him in team selection going with two wingers. I thought Bataka is unpredictable, so he'd be frustrating but exciting. And you're not quite sure what comes off, but I thought what did show me was his application to go and run around and win the ball back. And like I say, we're going to get better, and that's the exciting thing. It's a great starting place to be from, and hopefully we can move forward together.
You say the first half, say we weren't quite at the races.
I'd say way off.
Well, okay, right. I was being diplomatic, but you're right, we were way off.
No, we're honest here. We have to be honest, because we can't hide behind things. If we're good, we'll tell you we're good. If we're not good, I tell you we're not good.
Is that down to the change you're trying to bring in and the players just taking time?
Yeah, because sometimes
to pick it up?
When you try and play football, there's a backward step in things rather than a front footstep. And you can see we weren't close enough to affect them on a turnover. But that will grow. That will get better and better and better. And second half, I thought we were very good.
I was going to mention, second half, we were much more at it and had opportunities.
Should have won it.
How frustrating was that? You see Adam Ola's strike going just past. You see Josh normally put those away and not.
Yeah, and I was just said to the big man, oh, what are you doing? But I thought Josh was excellent. Yeah. The best bit of the game for me, two best bits of the game, Josh did something silly, lost the ball, and ran 20 yards and ragged someone's shirt, threw him on the ground and got back at them. That's good old fashioned football, isn't it? And then Patrick saved one off the line, and Foxy, and the two of them punched the air. Now that shows you what this football club means to them people, and that means that you've got to build and blocks to move forward with. Yeah, we weren't fluent, we weren't great in the first half, but second half we were far more fluent, far more exciting. And I think we got the fans on the edge of their feet, on the edge of their seats second half, and looked a much better team.
You had to make a change early on with Ezri going off.
Yeah, I want the fans to understand I'll never win a game of football if I've got to put somebody's health and well-being at risk. It's somebody's son. So he looked a bit dazed in his eye. Some of the lads said he always looks dazed. Gaffer, just don't quite know him yet. I think a few of them looked dazed all week. But no, he was... He just didn't look as he looked more dazed than normal. And I didn't want to take any risks, mate. I don't mean that to sound, but his welfare is important.
Absolutely. But and this is going to sound slightly strange, but he didn't want to come off. Is that the sort of attitude you want to see with your players?
It's the only attitude if you want to stay here. Yeah. You've got to be able to fight. MK Dons walked off this pitch knowing they'd been in a dogfight. They knew they'd been in a game second half. I mentioned for Tex, who hasn't played much football, I don't think he'll play it right back before. What a wonderful player he is. Wonderful player. But for me, it seemed like, yeah, maybe there'd be question marks over different things in the past, but it's a clean slate here. You've seen Pataka, him, Conte starting, so there's a lot of things that have changed, and there's a clean slate for all of them, and hopefully they'll respect that and move forward with that.
It's been a fairly busy week for you, I suspect, media-wise. You must be, as frustrating as probably the result was, you must be delighted for the football to have started.
I am, mate, yeah. I think when you understand there's a fraction of what... It's not a fraction, a massive part of what's going on. There's an unrest in some ways. But what I've tried to do, I've tried to be transparent, I've tried to be as honest as I possibly can. There's no offending to anybody at any stage in what I'm trying to do. I've always said I will meet people, and hopefully we'll try and get that done this week sometime. We'll sit down one or two people. I've requested to be somewhere where it's a little bit more enjoyable than in a room in an office somewhere, and just talk and learn and grow. I've asked for, there's a DVD that the club have given me, there's a 100-year history book that I'm going to read. I know it sounds a bit silly, but I want to know a lot about it. I want to know why, I want to know where, I want to know who, I got a nice text off Mark Kinsella today about how great the club is, and about five ex-players have texted me saying how great the club is. I'm meeting a few more this week, ex-players. I mean, these things, someone's like Mark Kinsella, and we had Matt Holland in this week, and they've given me the support. It means a lot to me. I think they know my type of mentality, that you've already seen that. That was 5 weeks of being bored off my head at home. That's all. It's a little bit more excitement than what I've had. Hopefully my missus won't listen to this. But I've been bored off my head. Listen, there's no golf course, there's no pub, there's no shop to compete for being on the touchline at a club that means a lot to you. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of the challenge ahead of me.
Well, if the fans listening to this, and certainly all your interviews up to this point, we'll be delighted to everything you've said
hopefully,
so far.
Thank you.
And as a fan, welcome to the club, of course.
Thank you so much.
There's some people say that if you want to know about the 100 years, I'm probably one of the best people at the league.
Yeah, it was a book that was given today, wasn't it? And a DVD. Hopefully the certain part of recently things, not in it, hopefully. But I'm really looking forward to watching it, learning, and taking this great football club. We're at the Valley, so when people come to the Valley, they need to know they're in a dogfight. They're going to have to put us unconscious, like Conte, to get out of the game. But we've got to have that mentality. We can't stand off teams, we just thought we stand off them a little bit second half. We can't. We're Charlton Athletic, with fans who are passionate and proud and with an application, and hopefully we can get this back into this great club and we can move forward together. I'm a small cog. I said to some of the fans during the game, do us a favour, have a go at the fourth official, tell them how bad he is, because they don't get fined. I get a few grand if I get sent off, so I want that rapport with them. I want that special rapport that I think it is a very fundamental part of the development of any football club. But today there was football things that weren't good. So we've got to go away and we've got to be better. And that's the job in hand this week.
Well, listening to legends like Kins and Matty Holland isn't a bad way to start things. So
hopefully.
It wasn't necessarily the result you wanted, but a clean sheet, I suppose.
Unbeaten
in the first
that's
game.
It, unbeaten.
We'll take that. Good luck for the replay. Obviously,
thank you.
Good luck for a cold day in Bradford on Saturday, and we'll see you there.
You've seen the weather report already. It's always snowing up there.
Cheers, Carl.
Thank you.
So there we are, that's Carl Robinson, not short of a few words. And
chatty, isn't he?
Yes, it's sort of like press the button, let him go.
Yeah.
Which I haven't got a problem with at all, to be fair. And it is, as I mentioned earlier on, he's got that sort of infectious nature about him that you can't help but like the fella. Even if you are slightly on the fence, yeah. and you don't particularly want to like him, you just can't help smiling at a couple of things he says, you know. And they may well be PR speak, and, you know, he may well be well-versed in how to turn people around. But even so, and Bob is sort of right. Bob Lewis, when he tweeted, proof of the pudding is in, you know, results and extra. And he's absolutely right with that. and his talking's got to come on the pitch as well. I agree with that. But it doesn't help to get people onside.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It doesn't hurt, beg your pardon. Yeah.
When we're in the position that we're in, if you can get the fans onside with the manager, which I think Russell had sort of lost, I think you're obviously, you've got your 12th man back. So I know obviously the crowds are lower at the moment, but I think even if you get that small crowd, as we all know how much noise that North End can make, even when it's half full, if he can win them over, then he's going to be off to a cracking start.
I think, as you say, Terry, it'll be how he reacts to the defeats that will make a difference, because when we're winning games, it's very easy for him to come out and say, you know, the fans are fantastic, and try and build that relationship and win people over who might not be convinced yet. But when we lose, he's got to come out, and it's all about how he handles that, because that positivity, even if he comes out like that, that's not going to win fans over. So, I don't know. He's, as me and Sue both said there, he is starting to win me over, because I didn't particularly want him here. But as I say, it all comes down to what he's on the pitch.
I mean, I'm wondering whether or not that. I mean, I've said that he wasn't always my ideal manager for any position necessarily, and prior to him coming to Carl coming here, I always felt a bit uneasy about him. You know, I can't put my finger. It might have been that he was always looking for excuses, maybe, that, you know, when he lost. But I'm trying to think of exactly why. There may have been one particular game where he had a go at us that might have shaped it. I don't know. But or is it because of the situation we're in, knowing what's gone on? You know, he's what, number eight now, isn't he? He's number eight in the current regime's manager pick. Is that the reason we're not 100% sold? Because we're not 100% sure that. Even if he is the Messiah, it's going to make any difference anyway. Is that why we're a little bit reserved?
I don't know. I think he was always, when he was at MK, he was always one of them managers that I think dislike is a strong word, but I wasn't a fan. I can't put my finger on why. Like you say, it was after game comments, it was always someone else's fault, or you didn't seem to get that honesty from results. But then, as we've already said, interviews and stuff always heavily edited when they go onto the TV. So it might be that he has given more lengthy explanations by what we've just heard.
Could it also be that, as I mentioned very at the beginning, he was a manager that had to be a fireman. He had to put fires out. So a bit like I felt Russell was at times, always on the defensive because of the club he was managing. And that everybody coming to MK Dons was already thinking, you know, this club shouldn't be you shouldn't be a manager of this club because, you know, of how it was formed. So was he perhaps always on a defensive because of that? Who knows? I don't know.
Possibly. I think, much like you, I can't decide what it is that put me off him in the first place. But what I do think, and I do think your second point is valid, that I'm just kind of beyond caring at the moment with who the manager is, because I think if he came in under somebody else, I'd be much happier, and I'd be going, right, there's a young British manager, he's had a fairly good experience at MK Dons, let's give him a chance, give him 2-3 years and just see what happens, like we did with Powell when he came in. But that's, you know, if we lose a few games and we're only in 10th in March, is he really even going to be here? All of this stuff that he's saying, all of the positivity he's building and the relationships he's starting to try and build with fans, just doesn't matter. So
I think you're right, Tom. Like, we've always had a history of having quite strong attachments to our managers, other than Pards and what's his name? How you guys? Ian Dowie. Ian Dowie. Didn't he from Goonies?
Got you now.
Sloth or whatever his name was. But other than that, we've always had quite good emotional relationships with our managers. And I think part of me is frightened to get that attachment with him, because 100%. we as we're going at the moment, what is the longest amount of time that anyone's been? Is it Guy?
About half an hour, isn't it, at the minute?
Guy. So it's really hard to... You get your hopes up and you get excited, like we did in the summer with Russell, and then 3 months later he's gone. So there's kind of a reluctance on my part to get too enthusiastic,
yeah.
Not through any fault of his, more to protect my own emotional well-being.
No, I get that. I absolutely get that. I think that's a decent point.
Guy was, although he was the longest, was possibly the first time that happened as well, because obviously Powell. But then when Bob came in, Bob Peters, you know, there was times where people were behind him. And when Riga came in and saved us, he had a good-ish relationship with the fans despite coming through the network. So even they had chances and times. But,
do you know, I think...
Bob Peters had a chant about him. Okay, yeah. It was a bit jokey about his hair or whatever, but there were a section of the North Upper chanting. Russell Slade had it for about a week. And will Carl get it at all, or are people like us just thinking, well, what's the point? Because he won't be here.
That's not really fair
on him.
No, I get that.
Sebo's just spot on with this, and this is one of the things that I think we were probably trying to get at. Seb Lewis says, Carl Robinson is one of those people that if he's on the opposition, you hate him, but if he's on your side, you love having him on your side. So, and Garmy Head Chef says, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. Monty Python. Thank you very much.
I might try and dig that audio out a bit later on, I might play that.
Weirdly as well, there's been a bit of a conversation about the man who managed to get in the East yesterday. Yes. Was he one of ours
or one of theirs?
He was one of ours. And he was trying to harass the MK end.
Oh, was he? On his own?
Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Maybe he'd had a few too many beers and got lost on the way back from the toilet.
Come on in.
But apparently that was the most entertaining part of the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did. So I can't remember, was it first or second half? I don't know, I can't remember myself now. But yeah, it was, I was just trying to make out, because he was having a go towards the end at them, but when he first came down, I thought they were cheering him. So I'm wondering, I thought, well, he must have come from their end. How else would he have got that far?
No, if you can get from North Lower.
One of us. Willing to take on all comers, clearly.
Well, he still had the safety of the corner. So
what do you think?
They can't get to me anyway.
I'm erring on the former. I think he's my newfound hero.
Are we talking about the MK players yet, or are we waiting until later?
Yeah, we'll do it a bit later. We've got some match emails as well, Tom?
Yeah, we have, yeah. So, John Rolfe emailed, this was about a week ago actually, saying that he's one of the 4,000, I'm assuming, meaning giving up his ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to come back, this would have been the last game, till he found out they wanted to charge £32 to sit in his old seat.
That must have been the Sheffield one, was it? Yeah, I don't know how much they were charging yesterday.
Was it a tenner yesterday, I think?
Yeah, it's tenner for adults anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so he's obviously not happy with the prices.
£32.
That's a lot, isn't it?
They must have classed the Sheffield because they're near the top, as a gold or whatever?
Yeah.
Clive Richardson has emailed in as well. Says, does anyone know if there's an official policy on bag searches at the Valley? I was stopped for search for the first time in 60 years yesterday, and when I asked what would happen if I declined, was advised that I would be ejected from the ground.
Do you know, I think there is a policy on bag search. I mean, don't quote me on it, but I seem to remember when I was in the cover end, when I was sat in the covered end, that my daughter, I think, had her bag searched when she went in once. I think it's basically to make sure you haven't got big full bottles of Coke
heightened terrorist alert. Yeah, so I think, I've been to loads of away grounds and had my handbag searched. Loads.
I'm sure they've taken
bottles of perfume off me and all sorts.
I got my laptop bag searched going up to the up to the commentary position on I think
obviously London's still on quite high alert.
Look, I'm sure there were other reasons as well, Clive. I'm sure they were looking for banners and stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I think there is a policy. Whether or not they always carry it out 100% is another issue, of course.
I think it's a random. I must just look dodgy. I've been searched at every away ground I've ever been to.
And Tom's certainly not going to say, because he's far too close to you.
Mm. I had one of the little. I think I was the only person in the ground who had the little pig taken off me when I
did you?
That game. Yeah, it fell out of my coat pocket. He went running across to get it and asked for it back, and he said I wasn't allowed a pig in the ground.
I'd
never heard.
There might be a bylaw on that somewhere about pigs in grounds.
That's piggist.
Apparently it was.
That's just piggist.
Gutted.
If you'd have been an OBE or something, you can sort of probably got a flock of pigs you can drive through the town centre. But until then,
oh well, that time will come. Jim Dutton's emailed in, and this is about Carl Robinson. He says, "Hi all, I sat right behind Robinson and he's the polar opposite of Slade. I like the way he interacted with the crowd, pulling faces when things went wrong, applauding comments from the crowd he agreed with. He's clearly decided that getting the fans on his side is a priority, and judging by the smiling faces in the crowd behind him, he's made a decent start. When one fan gave the ref some verbal, Robbo turned round and said, 'Thanks, mate, if I get I get fined if I do that, so you keep it up.' He was more entertaining than the match, if I'm honest."
Yeah, well, that's
he was giving the ref's assistant a bit of an earful.
There were a couple of absolute howlers yesterday. I mean, nothing that really affected standard, the outcome of the game, but there were some absolute corkers. Just, not just for us, for them as well.
Standard referee at this level. I know, obviously, that was FA Cup, but in the league as well, it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Katie Buckland has emailed in. Hi, Louis and co. Obviously, Louis not here, but
Louis not here.
He's shopping. He's Christmas shopping.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's cat cuddling.
Oh, that's now.
Cuddling his cat.
Okay.
Well, either way, he's not here, but I'm sure he'll appreciate that. She says, "I went to yesterday's game and was disappointed with the result. Although we didn't play excellently either half, the second half was better and should have scored. I've noticed that Luckman has been targeted by the players as a threat, which he is, and has been bruised and battered as a result. Think we shouldn't start him on Saturday and maybe bring on a sub. I was pleased with Robbo's communication with the boys throughout the game. Shame he couldn't win first time, but still have a replay. I'd like to go quite far this year in the cup. Can't see promotion for us, but maybe playoffs this year."
The Adam O'Luckman thing's a question I wanted to ask, actually. Mm. I'm in full agreement with Katie, actually. I think there may be a time, I mean, obviously, especially when Holmes is fit, but I would be tempted to play Chickson on the left and Pataka on the right and then give Addy a break, because he is definitely being targeted, no question. Bring him on as an impact sub if we have to, but I think as a 18-year-old, I think it's unfair that he gets that sort of, and Carl Robinson mentioned his thing, he's not prepared to put people's health at risk. I think there's got to be a case for, there may come a time when one injury could be just one injury too much. And I think I wouldn't be, I mean, I know that some of the fans will say, no, we've got to play our best players, and I get that, but there's going to come a time I'd rather have him protected than miss him for a half a season.
He won't be our best player if he carries on getting 10 lumps of it.
I mean, it's entirely possible he'd be gone by January anyway, but
that's the problem Carl's got at the moment, is if he does drop him, everyone will be like, oh, we're only doing that because we want to keep him fit so we can sell him. But actually, we've got to think, and we had this discussion earlier in the season when people were banging on about, why is he not starting? You've got to, there's a big, massive argument, and funny enough, they've been talking about it on Talk Sport quite a lot lately in regards to the England setup, about whether to bring youth through or not. And they say, well, if they're old enough to start in a first team game, they should be able to manage anything. But at the same time, if any of us thought back to when we were 18 years old, would we be able to handle that sort of pressure? They have training. They have media training, they have all that sort of like work done and support, mental health stuff now, but at the same time, he's still an 18-year-old boy.
Absolutely.
And he's going to come up against players who are more worldly wise, that are experienced, they know how to how to kick you up in the air without necessarily getting booked and stuff. And so, I mean, I remember when I was playing a long, long, long time ago, and my first few games were, I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread, and I played every game, and I was only young in a very senior setup. I came up against a side where this guy just knew how to play. He was much older than me, centre half. He just knew how to play and to knock me off my stride. And every time the ball was at a different end, you get a knee in your back of your kneecap.
Yeah,
you'd have it in your thigh, and every time you try to turn and run away, he just sly kick. And there were just certain stuff, and at corners and set pieces, they'd be treading on your toes and all that sort of stuff. You come up against players that are experienced and can do that to you. Now, I think Addy's done superbly well, and I think that free kick that could have won us the game would have been a perfect two fingers up at all those blokes. But it's happened. It's now probably four or five games in a row where he's been targeted. I mean, really targeted. The Sheffield United game was verging on criminal at times. I think it may be time to take him out of the firing line.
I think it's
especially if we're keeping him, by the way.
It's a great proving ground for him, and it's a great place for him to learn. But we've got our own examples in Ahern Grant and Joe Piggott, for example, who came in and had to play week in, week out, and they just burnt out. I think if you look at players, Rashford last year when he burst on the scene, this year not been so great. Mm. Walcott when he was young was a bit hit and miss. Shelvey when he went to Liverpool, okay, he didn't get much game time, but at that age you do take a while to find your stride, and he's in a league where he can learn how to cope with these people kicking lumps out of him, but at the same time he's young and he can't really be forced to do that every week. So I don't think, as you say, I don't know how Bataka played yesterday, but when we've got him there and Chixon, who's started to come in a little bit more and looked all right, why not give him a break just for a week or two, and like you say, have him on the bench if we need him.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Bataka, because I thought first half he was our only threat. It didn't happen a lot, but when he did get the ball, he was exciting.
Good.
Maybe one too many stepovers potentially, but we did look like a team that was more dangerous when he was on the ball. And then second half, he sort of came into his own, I think, because he got a bit more freedom, because the midfield started to work harder and work better, and there was more space a little bit about, so he could operate in. I'd been a bit concerned, because I think I've mentioned a few times, you know, people saying, why isn't he playing? And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's because he doesn't do the defensive side of the job. Maybe he's a loose cannon that
Louis
that
comes.
Yeah, but
yesterday, I've got to hold my hands up. Absolutely.
He lost the ball on a couple of occasions, like you're saying. He's doing his skills.
His flicky-leggy thing.
Silky skills down
he did a lovely cross.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once he just forgot there were two players outside of it.
And then I think he did the nuts at one point and all. But then he was chasing it down after. Yep. So if he lost the ball, he was chasing after it. And then he actually won it back on one of the occasions. And you're like, good on him.
No, I think he might have a start next week as
well. Yeah, I hope he does. I think he deserves it. He's been very patient.
He has.
And
we're going to lose him. When is the African Cup of Nations? Is that in January?
January.
Well?
Yeah.
So we're going to lose him as well in January. So Holmesy better get fit a bit quick.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. He did say... I think he said that he's healing quicker than they thought it was going to. But,
he's,
I mean, it was almost like you would have thought he had been shot in the foot from that stamp on his foot.
Oh, it was horrible when it happened.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Seb Ozy tweeted us again, actually. He says, Cole Robinson said in his press conference how Dele Alli was targeted by opposition players when he was at MK Dons, when he was on loan. Was he on the loan to MK
Dons?
Yeah,
he was, speaking of which, did you see that outrageous dive he did yesterday?
I didn't know.
Dele Alli, absolutely. But watch it later, it's brilliant.
If you can, because someone like Addy is such a calm, quiet, shy boy. Mm. So you can't see him reacting in a way that some other young players might turn around and, like, hit him back or something, like, tugging. He's not got that about. He's not in his nature. But I think psychologically, it could affect him if you're constantly getting battered every week.
Well, every time the ball comes towards him,
get to the point thinking, I just won't try because they're just going to kick me.
Mm.
Right, well, just before, I mean, is there any more emails, Tom?
The only other email on the game is Bob Knight, who is actually talking more about Robinson's, I don't know if it's press conference or the one you just did with him after the game yesterday, but he says, surely the players you have should dictate the formation you play. Robinson shouldn't alter the way Nugent set up until he can bring in his own players. Because I know Robinson, when he first came in, was talking about, although he likes to play 4-5-1, 4-4-2's been working here, and maybe he's going to have to adapt to that.
That's a fair point. To a certain extent, I think he did yesterday. He didn't do anything wildly expensive. We didn't do like a 4-1-3-1-2 or anything, any of that malarkey. It was a flat 4-4-2. So
not like Roland suggested.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So Yeah, we'll be talking about that. You know, we've got 40 minutes of the show left. We're gonna play an interview with Piercy, who came into the studio after the game, just before, by the way, and he had to rush off because he came in to do the interview. Didn't want to hang around too long, and Carl Robinson was in the main press room, so he probably knew he was in for a long wait. So he did the interview with me and then zoomed off, so he didn't go into the main press room because of the players' Christmas party. I think it was yesterday, or the players' Christmas drink. I don't think it was a party as such. It was all out on the bevvies. But apparently, and rumour has it, that this happens a lot with football players. Fancy dress could have been involved. So what we want after we play the PSC interview, and probably after about 8 o'clock, we'll finish off the yesterday's match discussions from 8 o'clock. Fancy dress. What would you expect our players to wear? So if you had to pick a fancy dress,
keep it clean.
Yeah, well, you can do it. If they're not clean, we can't read them out. So it's up to you guys.
True.
What fancy dress would you put to what player? That's what we want. The funnier the better, obviously. So we want that after 8 o'clock, as well as who the MK Dons players you might think we could pick up. That's a possibility. If we do manage to get through to the next round, who do you expect to get, and not who do you want, who do you expect to get in the third round? Because we're not probably that lucky, are we? For a decent amount of yesterday, I thought we were going to get Solihull Moors, which I thought was a distinct possibility. It's not anymore, but
I'd love to get Luton.
Would you?
Love to get
Luton away or Luton at home?
Luton at home.
Okay. All right, so that's those are the options. Those are the discussions we want to take on after 8 o'clock. In the meantime, let's hear from Jason Pearce, who came to the studio after yesterday's game. Joined by Jason Pearce in the studio after probably a frustrating goalless draw in this FA Cup game against MK Dons. Pearce, how did you see that pan out?
Yeah, obviously, first half was disappointing. Obviously, the gaffer's come in and he's got new ideas of how he wants us to play. And obviously, we the lads are trying to take that on board, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time. But obviously, it can't take too long because obviously we need to keep on getting the results. But second half, I thought we'd done better. We pressed the ball better and put them under a lot of pressure to win the ball back. And then it's just obviously making that pressure turn into goals.
Was that as simple as that, with the manager, Carl Robinson, going in at half time and telling you to do something a little bit different than you were in the first half, and because it was a much better performance in that second half?
Yeah, I think the gaffer had a go at us at half time, and probably rightly so. We needed to press the ball better as a team. We give them a bit too much respect, and we're letting them play out a bit too much. And they had a lot of the ball, and we want to dominate at home, especially at home in games. But obviously, MK Dons is where the gaffer just come from, and his ideas that he's trying to put to us. Obviously, that he's been with them sort of 6 years, I think it is. So it's no harder team to play against when they know exactly how he wants to play. So, but no, I think. We're obviously pleased to get a clean sheet, but obviously disappointed not to win the game. But obviously we've got a replay, so hopefully we can go there and win the game.
You speak about clean sheets as a defender, and with the back four you've got, again, another slight change with Esri coming in at right back, and then Tesh coming in, having to come in immediately afterwards. And Dylan Phillips, the new keeper behind you must be delighted with the clean sheet.
Yeah, no, obviously as a defender... that's what we want to get. Keep getting clean sheets. So that's what we try and do. But obviously, it's a team game, and it's a team performance. And we got a clean sheet as a team. And unfortunately, we didn't get the win we wanted to get through to the next round. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously, Dylan's come in. Dex's been outstanding this year, and Dylan's come in, young lad, come through the ranks here, and he's been brilliant when he's been called upon. And we'll see how it continues.
As a player, have you experienced the manager coming in halfway during a season, or midway or partway during a season, so you've had to change? Have you experienced that before?
Yeah. At Wigan, it happened to me. At Leeds, it happened. So it's sort of become a more of a regular thing in football now. If the managers aren't getting the time, always get the time. If the results aren't coming, then they chop and change it. So I think, obviously, hopefully, this gaffer will get some time to put his stamp on how he wants us to play, and all the lads are really excited, and we're trying to buy into how he wants us to play.
So, having experienced before, how difficult is it to change from one manager's methods and training regimes and outlooks to another one?
I think it depends on how the manager goes about it. This, obviously, the gaffer here has come in, and because we've been on a good bit of form, He hasn't wanted to change too much, but obviously he still wants to put his stamp on it. He wants us to not fear teams and show what we can do as a team. And we're obviously Charlton Athletic, a big club at this level especially, and we need to start performing better overall at home and away. So he's going to try and put that stamp on, and we're going to try and obviously put that right on the pitch.
I appreciate you joining us, Jason. The room outside is now free, so and Carl's going to come in. So thank you very much. Cheers, Jason.
No worries.
Cheers.
Charlton Live.
So that was Jason Pearce coming in the studio after yesterday's FA Cup draw, which means we've got a replay probably around the 13th. We're not entirely sure. I don't know if that telly could be involved or not, but it may be depend on other replays as well.
Based on that first round, I'd imagine.
They're not going to be falling over themselves. Probably not. So we don't know exactly, but we are sort of guessing it'll be around the 13th, so which I could be in real trouble of trying to make, because I'm supposed to be in Belgium then. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, are ya? Yeah, where are you at to?
That's where my head office is, sadly. I don't get a say in it.
You're not driving a cab over there, are you?
Well, we've got to talk about that sort of stuff.
Yep. We had a tweet from Roland Time to Go saying that Bataco is more comfortable flicking the ball over his head than passing it along the ground.
He did one very good one of those, by the way. He did a couple not so good, but he did one very good.
And Bob Lipscomb said, "I'm not unhappy with Carl, especially as Lee Bowyer threw his hat in the ring before Carl was
appointed." No, he didn't, did he?
Yeah,
did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He'd done an interview with one of the sports channels. I can't remember which one it was now. But, he was chucking his hat in there.
Is he doing anything, Lee Bowyer, coaching-wise or a team? I don't know.
Who knows?
Chucking hats around.
Chucking
things around.
You'd be frightened.
General.
He strikes me as a chucker.
He would
do now.
Yeah.
I think there was an incident in McDonald's.
Once or twice. About throwing potentially.
Something.
Apparently. Allegedly.
We'll talk about that.
I didn't even know he was in the coaching business, Lee Bowyer. But
probably not.
You do wonder. I mean, he was a fairly vocal sort, Lee Bowyer.
Yeah,
you do wonder
I would
whether
imagine
he'd make a decent manager.
I think he'd be quite annoying.
Do you think? As well.
Yeah.
I remember when Chris Powell got the job. Dennis Wise was high in the odds there. It was similar, quite aggressive.
I would irritate
not
him.
A lot of coaching experience that I'm aware of.
I probably would lose the will to live if Dennis Wise never came in. I genuinely
dream
mean
team,
that.
Those two.
Right, I mentioned also that we've got a few discussion topics, but we've also got an interview that Louis had with Mike from the Belgian 20. We've had already, of course, a fairly widespread coverage of the taxi going over to Belgium and going into Mr. de Châtelet's backyard. Well, the Belgian 20 have done that and then maybe gone a little bit beyond and above and beyond, because the video I've seen on YouTube via the Twitter tag of the Belgian 20 shows they actually got to meet our owner and handed over a little package. So we're going to have that interview. I think I'll probably do that first and let everybody listen to that. If you don't know it already, then it's Mike from the Belgian 20. They went across to Belgium, went to St. Truiden under the request from St. Truiden fans. So it's not something that Charlton fans did off just by themselves. There were St. Truiden fans there as well, and had a sort of a gathering of mutual dislike, I think, is probably the fairest thing I can say to that. So this is Mike from the Belgian 20. Hopefully, I haven't heard this, so this will be new to me as well. Talking to Louis about the experience in Belgium.
Right, joined on the phone now by Mike, who is a member of the Belgium 20 group that's once again gone over to Belgium this week weekend. Mike, it looks like you guys have had another busy weekend.
Yeah, it was very successful. Can I just say, first of all, that we're a diverse group, young people, middle-aged, old. I'm the oldest at 70. This time we had three children with two family groups, women with us, and that makes it a great weekend.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, looking at the videos that the group put on Twitter, it looks like you went over to, was it a St Trudent game, and you got involved with the St Trudent fans, first of all?
We did, yes. We had two aims. It was to make more contacts with the St Trudent fans. Their club is called STVV. And also to give to Mr Duchatelet our Christmas messages that the fans have been making up on the website, and we've made into Christmas cards, over 100, and also some little punchy lines from those long letters we've given to him as Christmas cards. And we didn't expect to really find him. We looked, and we thought we'd post them. And then, in the end, we did. We did find him, and they were handed over to him.
Yeah, whereabouts did you find him?
In one of his restaurants and social areas, in the VIP section, actually.
All right, and so what was Roland's reaction when I think a lot of people will have seen the video, but what was his reaction when he was given the letters? What did he say?
Well, I was about 3 yards away, and it was all very, very civilised. Low-key, but he didn't really want to take them. But I understand he asked if we were CARD, as he said. And our man said, no, it's Charlton fans. And he said, in that case, I will take them. Mm. And actually, his wife took them. And a big pack.
Yeah.
Of these letters, Christmas cards.
What sort of things were in these letters? And you said it was stuff that Charlton fans have been sending into you. What sort of messages were you giving to Roland there?
I'm sure most people know. It's been going on for nearly 3 years now. It's 7-8 managers changing. It's the response from the CEO, Katrina Meyer. The fact that she's we don't feel she's giving us the truth at all. And we have so many players now that have been loaned out. We understand we're still paying a big part of their wages, but we can't play them. So it's a big mess. That's part of it. I mean, how long have you got? Can I go on?
Keep going.
So the squad is unbalanced. We have about six good centre-backs. I think five seniors plus cons has come through this year. And no energy in midfield. And we could see this in July, in the pre-season games. Now, I don't believe that's the old manager's fault, Slade. That's down to the CEO as well. So it's the squad is unbalanced. And I hope the new manager will get funds to put it right.
So last time the Belgium 20 went over, I understood they were tipped off as to the whereabouts of Roland Duchatelet when they found him in his restaurant. Were you guys working with locals again to find him, or was it you sort of stumbled across him?
We were, yes, making more contacts. And then talking also with the STVV fans, because their contacts are not all fans. They're people who work in distant places, close to Mr. Duchatelet. But with the STVV fans, we were talking a lot about possible joint action, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, because I've seen the video where I think one of the Charlton guys starts off a song, and it looks like some of the locals join in with the We Want Roland Out song. So the impression you got from the locals was they had similar feelings?
Yes, they did. That was what you might call the ultras, the covered end, as you might call them. Yeah. It was, and that was brilliant.
Yeah, and
exciting time.
You actually saw a game out there as well, was that? They beat someone 1-0. Well,
that was the game. Yes, yeah. That was the game. It was not a brilliant game. STVV won 1-0, and they were second to bottom. I think they were playing the bottom club, I think.
Yeah.
And so they need the points. Rather like Charlton, they need the points.
So this is, I'm lost count of the amount of times the Belgium 20 have gone over now. How many times have you personally gone over on these trips?
This is only my second time, and I'm not an organiser. There are guys that put in a lot of hard work. I won't say who they are, but they know who they are, and they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, and do you feel like you're sort of, you know, you're getting the reaction you want from A, from Roland, and B, from perhaps the Charlton fans as well?
Well, we just don't know, do we? As far as Roland goes, that's part of the ongoing story. He's in Belgium, and we don't get too much reaction. Personally, I feel like every time we do get a reaction, then he's not happy about it. That's my personal opinion. And last time we went out and videoed him having a live feed, we got a reaction. So I think we might get a reaction this time.
And,
we'll see.
Yeah, and
we're not giving up. That's for sure.
Yeah. Do you think he'll end up reading all those messages? And if so, I guess you'll hope he'll get the idea of all these different Charlton fans, what they've all sent to them.
We hope so. They won't be lost. I think they will be published. And there are some of them absolutely brilliant. People a lot more eloquent than myself have contributed. So they won't be. Will never be lost. And what can I say? I certainly hope Roland will read them. And the way his wife took them, she had a smile on her face. And he was very reasonable at the time. So we'll see.
So coming away from Roland's new manager, in what have you made of Carl Robinson so far?
Well, obviously, it's too early to say. He talks a good talk, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's very enthusiastic. He's got a promotion with MK Dons, we met, yes. So we shall have to see. It's all in the future. and it depends if we can get a balanced squad with some energy in midfield, I feel, is the way to go.
Yeah, hopefully so. Right, Mike, thanks for joining us. It's always fascinating to find out how these trips overseas go. They're always well covered, and I'm sure you guys, I know you're doing it for a noble cause, but I'm sure you guys quite enjoy it as well, so...
We do, because St. Trudon's a nice, very nice town, nice people.
Excellent stuff. Well, thanks for joining us on the phone this evening. Thanks for joining us on Charlton Live, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
So there we are. That was Mike from the Belgian 20, just describing the trip over to St. Trudon, meeting with the St. Trudon fans, and handing over some messages to Mr. Roland Chatelet. How effective do you expect that to be?
In terms of actually reading the letters, I think we'd be surprised if he did. What I do think is that we know, or have it on good authority, that he doesn't like us going over there and disturbing him over in Belgium. From the look of the video, everyone was very polite and respectful in terms of meeting him and giving him the details. So
I saw the video. He looked actually quite affable to the fact that he was approached,
yeah.
rather than just telling him to go away with a flea in his ear.
Exactly. So, I think that, as we seem to hear, bothers him. So, I don't know. That we've got to keep trying, haven't we? We don't know really how effective any of these protests are until such time that they decide that it's time to move on. But... credit to them for trying. And I think one of the Belgian 20 tweeted something today that said, I think, I don't know if somebody was being critical of them. I know some people have been in the past with some of the things they've done, but they said, look, we're all doing different things, but we're all here for the same goal, and that's to get him out. And you know, we might not do things the way you would, but I'm sure Card don't, and I'm sure the people who don't protest at all don't. So we've just, as we've said many times on this show, got to be respectful of everyone's views and credit them for doing something that they believe is right for their club.
Yeah, and we all want the same end game. I think that's the that's the crucial thing here.
Yeah,
and fair play to him for that. Do I think that he'll read them? Oh, I wonder if he's got somebody who reads things for him.
Possibly.
When you have that sort of money, do you employ people to read stuff for you?
Fan mail.
yeah,
which
maybe
is
not.
Effectively
kind of ish. Yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah, I'll be very intrigued. I mean, Mike said that they've been kept for posterity. I'd love to read
I'd
a
like
few.
To know
I think
what some of them
said. I seem to see on Twitter, and I've got to get back to it. Freddie Saunders said he sent one, and he's posted it up. So I'll have a good look at that, just to see. I'm intrigued just to see how people put their points across. I'm hoping it's not just sort of vitriol and abuse, which I don't expect it would be. Actually, I'm pretty sure our fans are a bit cuter than that.
I think give them a bit more credit.
Absolutely,
yeah, I think they'll be quite humorous, hopefully.
But while we're on the subject of that, I think we got an email in which I think came a little bit too late for Thursday.
Yeah,
so,
talking of fan mail.
Yeah.
We've had an email from Robin Lisbon. Hi, guys. At least all this chaos is likely to increase your audience over the coming months, which is true. Often listenership goes up, doesn't it, when we're in crisis?
Well, certain reaction does.
Yeah, that's true. He says, personally, I have enjoyed and largely agreed with your views on and off the field, and right now I hope we can continue to rely on you all in the studio to support Card and encourage fans not to split away. There is a danger of fans splitting over Carl if we're not careful. Roland is playing us just like he has over the past 3 years. The recent revelations from getting to know the network aren't anything we didn't already suspect or know, but like Card and others behind the scenes, they've done an amazing job, and with more horror stories and regime knee-jerks to come, I hope fans take Card's view that no matter what Roland says or does, we must all pull together and do what it takes to remove him from our club. To remove him, there is, however, only one option. We need to stick together and back Card and the protests. The bad publicity is the only way to bring pressure on Roland to convince him to finally open up negotiations and sell to a new owner. I have always been in favour of supporting the team and not the regime, but if fans split over Card's objectives and the protests fade away, just be aware that we will be killing the club under Roland's governance. Have you considered that his clever and cunning endgame included bringing in the likes of Carl to simply split fans? If not, think again. You will see in more revelations to come in that Roland's endgame is in fact relocation, not premiership. I'm sure listeners will be intrigued to know that at this critical juncture what you guys now think.
Interesting points. I agree with some, or most actually. I do. I don't think, as we've said before, I think some fans just aren't in favour of protest.
Yeah.
Whether that's because they just don't believe in it, because they believe in something completely different, or it's just not their type of thing. It might just be that that's not they want to get involved in, which you've got to respect. But the one thing I'm still intrigued on, and I know Robin's given this view a few times about the relocation and moving away from the Valley, which he Robin seems to think is an absolutely certain guarantee. I'm still not entirely convinced of that, if I'm honest. I don't see any indication of it as yet. Now, if there is stuff that Getting to Know the Network bring out in the last two, or the next two instalments, that changes my view on that, then I'll hold my hands up and say, yeah, Robin, you're absolutely right. Just at the moment, I don't see it anywhere anything I've seen.
I go through spells. Sometimes I believe some of the stuff I read, and other times I don't. Obviously, I think we all certainly hope it's not the case, but... yeah, I'm not necessarily convinced by that yet. I think his point, which is something we just covered before we read the email about sticking together, is crucial.
I agree with him 100% on that, absolutely.
And I think in terms of Carl splitting the fans, I think whilst I'm not necessarily sure that that's Roland's objective in bringing Carl in, I think there will be some sceptics of him who do just think that it's PR spin in terms of the talks he's been giving. I think we've all said, we've seen him as quite passionate and he's starting to win maybe some of us round, but there's going to be people in the other camp who don't believe a word of it.
But you can understand why, because as we alluded to earlier on, the you know, we got that spin with Russell Slade. You know, we had we've listened to you. It's a British manager. We've seen the error of our ways. Yep. Russell's in here for the long haul. We're building something now, and then 3 months later he's not here. So you can understand why people think that, you know, because unless the what they say or what people say in explanation of a decision actually comes to fruition, then you can understand people being sceptical and not believing what the next step is.
It's what Sue said earlier about having that connection to a manager. I know I'm a Charlton fan, but I still hold that we have quite a unique bond with our managers, certainly since I've been a fan, and it is very difficult to have that confidence to do that now because you don't know how long they're going to be here.
Agreed 100%. And anyway, thanks Robin for your email, as important as always, as is everybody's view on this. I think my own view is that the protest in whatever form they manifest themselves, and I do think some are more effective than others, have to continue. I think let me rephrase that slightly. I think the supporters' voices, in however they manifest themselves, have got to continue to be heard.
Yeah,
there's no possibility that they should stop, because you know, we had I mentioned this back a few times to people. You know, back in 1985, I think, just trying to guess, we got turfed out of here, and we never had any option, never had any say. We had no time to do anything about it. And I think, given that time again, how many people would have said, "Well, if we'd have found out 6 months before, and fans may have been able to muster something to stop that happening." So, I don't think anybody should be critical of fans who are now voicing their displeasure at what's going on and disliking intensely what's going on, because they see it, and a lot of people see it, and to a lesser extent on one of them, that we can't make that same mistake again. We can't sort of go quietly, as it were. I almost ranted into an Independence Day quite there. We can't go quietly into the night. I don't think there's any one of us, if it happens again, want to be able to turn around and say we did nothing. I think that's pretty much wrong.
That we wouldn't let it happen again.
And I think you can understand why people don't want to do that quietly.
Yeah.
And I'm more power to them.
And I think as well, when you look at it, is a lot of the people that were involved in 85 and were involved in getting us back to the club are involved in what's going
absolutely,
on now.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. No question about it.
This club is, they are the heart and soul of this football club. And they're the ones that have kept it going.
And the biggest mistake the owners could make, Mr. de Châtelet in particular, would be to underestimate Charlton fans, because that would I hope he does actually, because it couldn't get back to bite him in the backside.
I think, and certainly from my point of view, from a fan who, you know, I didn't start supporting Charlton until early to mid 90s, I wouldn't have had a Charlton to support if it wasn't for those fans. So for me, each to their own. Absolutely, I respect those that don't choose to protest, but I can't thank the people that do enough, because the people that did before gave me a club to support. So. And those doing it this time are hopefully getting that club back again.
And there'll always be people who are more on the front foot of this sort of thing. There are people who are better at it.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord for that, and thank Christ for it. Because if it wasn't for them, as you say, we probably wouldn't have a club to support at all. So I think what I'm trying to say is let's just get beyond everybody who's trying to do something.
Yeah.
And let them do it as well.
And stick together.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I think just going on that, I just want to add something to that. Just because if we support Carl as a manager and this football team, don't take that as
us not
respecting the other side of things.
Absolutely. Hear. Right, have we got anything on the, we've got, how long have we got? About a quarter of an hour of the show left. Have we had any ideas on fancy dress or players we could nick?
We've got a couple of players to nick. So, Bob Lipscomb, he said Carruthers.
Oh, he stole mine. That's what I take as well.
The number seven, yeah.
Thought he was their man of the match.
He was their playmaker for sure.
He was, when we did commentary at their place last year, he was man of the match in that game. I remember him bossing that one.
Yeah.
We've got from Matthias Johnson, Darren Potter.
Yeah, he's their number eight. I mean, they're a pair together, are they, in midfield? And
get them both then.
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
No,
yeah.
Actually, we've got let's get them all.
I think I don't disagree with. I think we need. I do think we need an extra somebody in midfield. Somebody who can. I don't know. Probably a mixture between Crofts and Overstead, who can actually get about and impose themselves. I suppose, which at times Crofts does, but at times he doesn't.
Mm.
And I think a more consistent Croftsy would be brilliant. But there were still times where he gave the ball away needlessly. There were still first half he was missing because he was chasing shadows a little bit.
So
was Freddie Overstead. He was almost non-existent because he wasn't able to get control of the ball because they bossed us. So we need somebody who's going to give that back.
Mm.
In my opinion, by the way.
So that's the only players we've had suggested from him.
I'd still like to Dean Lewington, by the way, the left back. I certainly wouldn't take Kieran Agard. He can stay there.
Freddie Saunders says that Pat Bauer should actually dress up as the BFG.
Absolutely. Well.
Yeah, that's a good call. Definitely.
Don't know how you'd do that, really.
Mm.
Well, just stilts.
Yeah.
They wouldn't need stilts, would they?
Stilts and big ears.
Big ears and wrinkles, bald head, big nose. It's one of my favourite books. Right, oppositions for the next round. Oh, actually, Bob said, Lee Bowyer done coaching badges, but he owns a fishing lake in France where he's lived for a while.
Yeah, I'd heard about the fishing lake. It was in France, is it? Oh, okay.
Bet he gets on well over there.
Get rid of fish.
do you reckon
if they don't jump into his fishing net, he just jumps in and nuts them?
I nearly said a swear word then.
He doesn't need a fishing rod, he just goes in and wrestles them out of the water.
So we've got Sebo says he thinks he's got his feeling that the winners of the replay at MK
AFC Wimbledon
will play Ipswich at home.
Oh,
I'll take that.
Yeah, do you think, really?
My family are all Ipswich
fans. Oh, okay, it's a personal thing. Fair enough.
Bob thinks third round opponents has to be Palace at home.
No, we're not that lucky. It'd be away, wouldn't it?
No. Be away again. Thanks, Bob.
It'd be great if that was the game that got Pardew the boot, but we're just not that lucky.
Can you imagine?
No, yeah, we're not that lucky, are we? But
Jacko scoring the last minute winner.
Actually, if I thought it could be a real positive result, then I'd say yes all day.
That would be the best day ever. And Ray Pammon says Oxford United if they progress, or Huddersfield surely. Yeah, we ain't played Huddersfield for a season.
A week or two.
Yeah, for a week, exactly. We haven't played them in the cup for one season.
Getting withdrawal symptoms from Huddersfield. Our groundsman, Nathan, he actually had a dream that...
Can you say it on here?
We were ball 62 and that we were
drawn... We are ball 62.
Yeah, I know, but this was before.
Oh, really?
Right, so Friday night...
That's too spooky.
He had a dream that we were ball 62 and we got drawn away to Man City.
I'd take that all day long.
Take that.
Absolutely. It's one of the few grounds I've not been to yet.
I've not done Old Trafford ever.
But since they left Main Road, I was at Main Road, but I've never been to.
I went to the new one. Not for a game. I was getting made redundant from here. I went for a job with.
It's a long way to go for an interview.
No, it was basically the National Association for Disabled Supporters were taking on someone, and they. Because most of them were based up in Manchester, they asked me to go to Man City for an interview.
It's a long old stretch.
Yeah, it's nice ground though.
It looks it, but it'd be one I could tick off. looking at the who progressed yesterday and this afternoon, as I said, AFC Wimbledon beat Curzon National. They were 3-0 down, by the way. They scored three goals in like 2 minutes.
Saw the highlights earlier.
And ended up winning 4-3. It was a bit like Bournemouth and Liverpool today. Bolton beat Sheffield United. Barrow beat Bristol Rovers. So Barrow's a possibility. Barrow away, you imagine? Eastleigh and Halifax is another draw. Cambridge won. Sadly, Millwall won against Braintree. So they're in the hat.
No thanks.
Yeah, I know.
We'll have played them a week early. Oh, we play them in January.
We play them on the 21st anyway. So why can't we do
them at the end of December?
Can we do a double header? Do you think?
So we play on the same day.
What, back to back game?
Back to back game. Just do it. Just everything on this one game. Yeah. The FA Cup, the league, the lot.
So whoever wins the game
gets
the 3 points
and
in
the next. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go along with that. At the very least, it will cut down on the fixtures, wouldn't it? Elsewhere, Port Vale beat Hartlepool. Accrington Stanley are still in it. That'd be a game to go to. Accrington Stanley. I've not been to that ground
either.
Don't know. It's up north. I only think it's Liverpool's way because that kid on the milk advert. But I don't think it is.
Who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Which might have been Carl Robertson when he was a kid.
I think you should ask him.
It was him.
Was you that kid?
Yeah. I think what I'll probably say is
who are they?
Just because he's a Scouser doesn't mean it was me. I think that's it's probably what he's going to say. Bob's right. Oxford are still in it.
Bob's come out of a good one.
Oh, go on then.
At home to Derby.
Oh, what?
Chrissy Powell
and Darren Bent.
And DB, yeah.
And then if we win, we get them back.
Yeah, well, them on the line. Oh, yeah. let's get the gamblers on board. Yes, absolutely. And come on, let's make this interesting.
If they win, they can have Roger Johnson.
Roger.
I think that's funny. I'm trying to find yesterday's results. I can't find them anyway. Never mind. Yes, I can. I've got them now. Going up there, on the 13th as well, the crowd here was, 4,000 odd, wasn't it? 4,500?
Yeah.
And they brought 400 in. I've got a sneak suspicion on a cold Tuesday night in Milton Keynes, it might be a tad less.
I think also it does depend on who we get in the draw, because if that ball comes out and it is Man United away, for example, chances are we're going to play a better strength squad and really go for it, and we might take a few more up because perhaps that'll affect your chance of getting a ticket for the next round. If we've got Accrington Stanley at home in the next round, then we're unlikely to be paying. Oh, I don't know whether the squad would necessarily be weaker, but people perhaps a bit less fussed about priority ticketing or anything like that. So I don't know. I'm debating it, but it depends on what day it is.
But the Oxford United game's a draw as well, by the way, so they've got to replay Macclesfield Town. Sutton United, they're in it. Wycombe Wanderers are in it. Luton Town are in it. Rochdale. Blackpool are in it. God, that'd be a cold evening, cold afternoon in Blackpool, wouldn't it?
Mind you, I think that would set up nicely for...
Oh, wouldn't it just, actually? Yeah, that's a decent point. You hadn't thought of that.
Either way, whether it's up there or down here. Yeah.
So those are the options. We still, I was disappointed we haven't got more fancy dress options. Any thoughts, guys, on who you'd see in fancy dress?
I had Flash Gordon for Bataka.
I like
Flash.
That.
Michael Flatley for Lookman, because his feet just seem to move so fast.
I was going to go for the little kid from Oliver.
Yeah?
For him?
He just looks like a 2-year-old. He looks 12, doesn't he? Bless him.
He could be Charlie Bucket.
I had Olverstad dressed as God, because I just love him.
Do you?
I think the skipper should be the To Infinity and Beyond. What's his name?
Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear. No, Desperate Dan.
I had
an old man. He's got the chin, hasn't
he? Generic old man. You can tell him that.
They used to call him Desperate Dan, I think.
Did they?
But it's something to do with his chin.
Oh, I'll have a look at that later.
You have Solly as any of the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, he's not that small.
He does look it, though.
Just compared to the rest of them.
Josh McGuinness has probably got to be
one
of the orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
he's just huge.
I was thinking of some sort of workhorse, but I don't know. Yeah, because he does put a shift
Shrek.
In.
Shrek.
Again, you can tell. He's listening to this.
You say that one.
He's got a Scottish accent as well.
He's from Northern Ireland.
He speaks Scottish.
He's from Northern Ireland.
He speaks Scottish. I promise you. He's from Northern Ireland, but he speaks Scottish.
Does he?
Scots.
Didn't know he was bilingual.
Scots.
Not Scotch.
Yeah. I interviewed him. I could have sworn this. It was a full-on Northern Ireland accent. I'm going to listen to that back.
All right.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just thinking, how stupid must I be if I didn't pick up on it?
Bob says Rojo was Fagin.
I was thinking ones for him, but I couldn't read many of them out.
I'm not sure we should comment on that in the current circumstances.
Why Fagin?
I can't possibly answer.
No,
don't look at me. I've got no idea. Yeah. Bob's the only man who can answer that question, and I'm not sure we'll read out the answer either, potentially.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused at that one. I don't know, really.
I think I actually think Chris Solly should be... I had him down... Joe 90. Look it up.
But you used that
I
in
did.
your Player of the Year
it just looks like him.
Thing. Hmm. You used him in the posters.
I did. It was a stunning
likeness. That's cheating.
No, it's not. It's a fact.
You've already used it.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't make it less
You're
relevant.
You're rehashing your old jokes, Terry.
If they're good, they need rehashing. It wasn't a joke. It was genuine. I actually think he looks like Joe Knightley. If anybody doubts
vote for Chris Solly.
Google it and look it up.
Just having a little pictures. Google
now. That was a poster. He stuck it up everywhere.
He does look a bit like Chris Solly.
I told you.
I'll give you that.
But no, the poster I stuck up actually had a picture of Chris Solly on it. It wasn't Joe Knightley.
Yeah,
but you did. I'm sure you.
I used
did
the music.
Say,
yeah, no, I used
the
music, and then
from
the.
Joe
I used the background to Joe 90.
Yeah,
for the
that
thing.
Was the year I got Jacko into second.
Yeah.
No, I got him from third to second.
I know I won it, didn't I, with Chris Solly? He was nowhere near the end of the vote till I put my poster campaign up, and then he won by a landslide.
Yeah, whatever.
I never ever got the credit for that. We got minutes to go. We've got. I know we're going to look ahead to Bradford on Thursday, but is that? I wouldn't say must win's rubbish, but do you think if we get a decent win out of that, then the home game against Peterborough then becomes, and then we got Millwall straight after that. By the way, these are three games that could really shape what we do from now on, couldn't
massively.
They?
And also, if we win them, I think they'll have an impact on January as well in terms of whether Roland wants to spend or not. I think. I think Bradford is winnable. I think Carl needs to get a win early on just to settle, because he said himself he was really nervous coming out on Saturday, and he just will settle him down. It'll settle the players down. It'll have had another full week to get them used to his style. We're going to obviously have a Tuesday night game coming up against MK Dons, and we've got the Wednesday coming up against Millwall as well. So we've got thick and fast games. So yeah, it could go one of two ways, couldn't it? If we can get a win and start momentum rolling, that could be a very good period over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Don't want to sound overly controversial, but if we get a result out of Bradford, we've then got Peterborough the following week. If we've got an FA Cup replay squeezed in between, knowing that we got Millwall shortly after that, do we play a slightly more experimental side?
Probably, I would think so. Again, it might depend slightly on the draw in terms of how seriously we want to take the competition. Carl Robinson doesn't strike me as a man who lets many games just sort of go by the wayside. So I don't know, but we haven't got a massive squad to work
with. That's true.
But yeah, you could introduce a few. You know, even just having the likes of Aribo or a Hearn Grant back on the bench. You know, if you're resting someone like Lookman. But yeah, I think it will depend on what happens next weekend, first of all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm of the opinion that if you're right, actually, you're probably actually bang on. If we get sort of like Oxford United away or even Oxford United home, then he may well chuck a few experimental players in. If we get Man City away, I think it'll be the full team that goes up there, all guns blazing, almost certainly. Do you think? I mean, look, if it's a trouble is, it's almost the other way around, though, because if it's against Oxford, you know you've got a chance, so you should put your first amount into getting through another round and another, hopefully you'd still tilt at a decent draw. Whereas at Man City, you're not going to win anyway, so what's the point?
I think, like a lot of Leicester fans have been saying this season, you've got to focus on the league because that's your priority. And for us, getting back to the Championship is probably our number one priority, so you've got to take those games more seriously. If we had a bigger squad, there's no reason we couldn't do both, but truth is we haven't at the minute.
No, it's true.
I'm the wrong person to ask about cup games, to be fair, because I've always been of the opinion that it's secondary to league, no matter what, no matter who you're playing, it is secondary to league.
No, I don't disagree with that at all.
And I know we discussed it before, I think, the year we went on the little run with Paley, and I kept saying, rather us stabilising in the Championship.
I've asked a few people that
get
question.
Get in with into playoffs than have a cup run.
I've
and
asked,
risk injuries and such.
Yeah, I've asked a few people the question where we got so close to Wembley again and then getting knocked out by Sheffield United. Wouldn't it be much better if we got knocked out in the second round and we wouldn't have had to face that pain? Because we came so close to a Wembley tilt. Only to see it sort of destroyed. Whereas if we'd got knocked out 3 rounds early, we wouldn't have cared at all.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, sorry about that. And on that positive note, time for us to wind it up. Cheers, Sue. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Tom, pleasure
thanks,
as always. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
And thanks for everybody's contribution. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your tweets and your emails. This has been Charlton Live. We're back. Well, we won't be, but the Thursday crew will be back on Thursday to look ahead to the Bradford game. And then I won't be here because I'm spending the weekend in Bradford. But the crew, the rest of the able bodies, will be in next Sunday to mull over what's gone on in the weeks before. So once again, thanks for listening. Take care, everybody. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.